Well, if you're new with us, my name is Jason, and this morning we're concluding a sermon series in the book of Jonah. Next week, I just want to kind of give you a heads up, we're going to be starting a new series in Genesis chapters 1 through 11, looking at some of the foundational questions and issues that we all have, and so really looking forward to this study, and so I hope you can join us for that as we look at Genesis chapters 1 through 11. Well, this morning we are concluding this series in the book of Jonah, but we're actually not going to be in the book of Jonah. Last week we looked at chapter 4, which is the last chapter in that book. Instead, this morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. And so if you'd please find that, if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 15. And we'll be starting in verse 11 here in just a moment. Luke 15. Now, as you're finding that, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a brother or sister? Does anybody have a sibling? Right? I think most of us. Now, let me ask you this. Are you anything like your brother or sister? Do you look like them? Right? Do you act like them? There's lots of a murmuring going on here. Well, if you look at the screen, see this goofy young guy? This is me, all right? Second grade. What this young guy did not know is he was about at the peak of his hair growing ability, all right? A couple more years, it was all downhill from there, all right? So that's me as a second grader. Here's my brother. That's my brother, Jesse. He's younger than me, about 18 months, and you can see we are very different in the way we look. I have dark features, dark hair, dark eyes. He was blonde hair. Blue eyes, right? Pale skin, and so much, much different. Now, as we got older, the differences continued. He's quite a bit taller than me. He's almost 6'2". I tell my kids I'm 5'11". They don't believe it. I just say I'm shrinking, so he's a good 3 or 4 inches taller than me. And so we look different. We act different. We like some things, but we have some differences. And so for you, again, I want to ask, are you like your brother or sister? Now, I share that because in our story this morning in Luke chapter 15, this is a story or a parable of Jesus, and it's often called the parable of the prodigal son. But I think that a better title would be the parable of the two sons, or we might say the two brothers, because in this story of Jesus, there are two brothers. There's the younger brother and the older brother. And what we're going to find is these two brothers are very different from each other. The younger brother, he wants to get away from his family. The older brother wants to stay. Now, as we go through this story, just like we've done in the book of Jonah, we've been asking, how am I like Jonah? This morning, we need to ask ourselves, which brother am I like? Am I like this younger brother who I think, as we kind of look at him, kind of put him into a category, and you may relate to this, or at least you did at a certain time in your life, where you were not religious. You're more the risk taker, more free willing. The older brother, we would say he's more moral, religious, the rule keeper. And so as we go through this story, I want you to keep asking yourself, which brother have I been like? Maybe which brother am I like now? Now, I think sometimes we can say, hey, I identify with this brother or that brother, but I think for a lot of us, it's not just one brother we identify with. We kind of bounce back and forth. There's been seasons in your life, I imagine, if you're like me, where you've been more like that prodigal. Maybe for you, it was in college or your early 20s, and you got away from the Lord. Other times, we've been much more like that older brother, rule-keeping. We're coming to church. But sometimes even in that, our heart is very far away from the Lord. Now, the reason that we want to look at this story in connection with Jonah is because many scholars think that when Jesus was developing this story, he had Jonah in mind. See, Jonah in the first couple chapters, he is very much like this younger brother, where he runs and flees from the presence of the Lord. But then in chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Jonah, he is very much like this older brother. He was upset that the Ninevites received grace. And what we're going to find, this older brother gets upset with the grace that his younger brother receives. And so again, as we go through this, ask yourself, which brother do I more closely identify with? So we begin with this, and we're going to divide it into two scenes. In scene 1, we find this starting at verse 11. Jesus says, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he, the father, distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. This parable of Jesus begins with the other younger brother asking for his inheritance. In this cultural setting, the younger brother would have received one third of the estate. His older brother would have received two thirds. While it was customary to receive an inheritance from your father at this time, what was deeply insulting is that the younger son asked for his inheritance while his father is still living. In effect, what he is saying to his father is, Dad, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. Dad, I want what you can provide, but I really wish you were dead so that I can go to this distant country and do what I want to do. Sounds very much like Jonah, doesn't it? Where Jonah flees from the presence of the Lord, where he goes to Tarshish, this very affluent place, or at least he's trying to get to Tarshish, this very affluent place to flee the presence of the Lord. And so the younger son, he gets his wish. The father gives him the money, and he goes to this distant country. Maybe to put it in our terms, he goes to Vegas. He goes to college. He wants to get as far away from his family as possible. But quickly, this lifestyle that this younger brother lives, he begins to run into some issues. Look at verse 14. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. This younger son has been living it up, right? Doing all the pleasures that he wanted in life, but then his money runs out. On top of that, a severe famine hits the land. So to put it in our context, inflation rises, unemployment rises, the stock market is dropping, everything is a mess. And in his desperation, he goes to work for this pig farmer. And amazing, he had all these friends when the money was there. But when the money ran out, he was all alone. And in his desperation, he works for this pig farmer. Now, I grew up in a very rural setting, and not far from my house, there was a pig farm. And let me tell you, when the wind was just right, it smelled awful. And so being a pig farmer or working for a pig farmer could be a tough job, but it goes beyond that. And this really would have shocked the audience that Jesus was telling this story to, because these were Jewish people. And for Jewish people, a pig was an unclean animal. So they've been shocked to hear this. But not only does the son go to work for this pig farmer, he is desperately hungry. And this guy being hungry kind of reminds me of this show that I've been watching. Has anybody watched the show Alone? Anybody watch that? Well, if you're not familiar with it, what happens is these contestants go to this very remote place and they have to last a certain number of days or the last person standing, and they only get 10 things that they can bring with them, maybe a bow or a pot or a sleeping bag, whatever it is. And these are some really tough areas, and it gets cold very quickly, and they build their shelter, but then the food sources begin to run out. And this one particular guy, he was doing pretty well. He was lasting. He was trying to get to 100 days, and he had caught fish and berries and all this stuff, but then he killed this muskox, this large game animal. It was amazing. And so he's chowing down on this muskox for a number of weeks, and then it begins to run out. And he's almost to the 100 days. He's about to make it, but then he's starving. All of his food is gone, except he had kept the stomach of this musk ox. And he cuts it open. And inside the stomach, when this animal had been killed, still had some food in it, what the musk ox was eating. And he took that, and he made a little soup, and he ate it. Now, is that disgusting? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Why would I share that? Because when I talked about that pig, I could see you going, it wasn't that bad. But this guy is desperate. He has hit rock bottom. You need to feel how desperate he is. And for some of you, and you're running from the Lord. You've lived in foolish ways. I've lived in foolish ways. And you hit rock bottom. Maybe that's you today, and you need to realize that in your desperation, as we're going to see from this time, you can still turn to your Heavenly Father. And so this young guy, he finally comes to his senses. And he says, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. He says, I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. The son says, what am I doing here? What am I doing? My father loves me. I've treated him so poorly. I'll go back to my father and I'll say, I'm no longer your son. At least make me one of your hired servants. But let us not miss this. The reason the son can return to the father is because he knows his father is gracious. As a child, as a teenager, maybe he was in his 20s, he had seen how gracious and compassionate his father had been. He'd seen the character of his father, and he knew that he could return to him. I want to ask you, if you're like that prodigal, do you know how gracious your heavenly father is, that you can turn to him today? And so he sets out, look at verse 20. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. The father ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine who was dead is alive. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. A party breaks out. What an amazing response of the father. That the father looks out and from a long distance away, he sees his son. Which means that he had been looking every day since his son had left. He'd been looking for his son. He would get up in the morning and look out, is my son coming? He would go in the evening and say, is my son coming? But not today. And this would happen over and over and over again. But today he looks out and now his son returns. And in his joy, he runs to his son. He embraces him. Literally what that means is he falls on the neck of his son. And in his tears, he kisses him and welcomes him back. Now, the father's response would have been very surprising. Again, the audience that Jesus is talking to would have been very surprised to hear this. One reason is that men of a certain age did not run. And let me tell you, guys, some of us of a certain age, we should not run, right? The injuries are right there. But that's not the reason they didn't run. It was undignified to run, especially if you were wealthy. And this father is wealthy. And so for him to run was shocking. Also, when he greets his son, the son, because he had left, was to show respect to his father. And so the father, when they meet face to face, the father would not speak. At least normally in that culture, he would not be the first to speak. Because the son had done this to him, the son would begin to talk to his father in a very respectful way. This is the reason, or at least one of the reasons, the son was working on this speech. But it's as if the father doesn't even care what his son says. As the son begins to talk and explain the situation, the father basically just ignores him. And he cries out to his servants. He says, go get the robe. Remember, this guy had been working for a pig farmer. I mean, he was smelling awful. He was disgusting. And the father says, get the best robe and put it on him. We got to clean him up. A ring was given to the son. This represented that he was part of the family. And then he was giving shoes to wear. See, shoes at that time were only prepared for the family. The son, the daughter, the father, the mother, but not for the servants. And so he had no shoes. Now he has shoes. And so when you put all this together, the robe and the ring and the shoes, what is taking place here is the son who had run, who had said to his father, "Father, I wish you were dead. I wish I was not part of this family any longer." He's now being welcomed back in. He's being restored. The son who was lost, who was considered dead, has now been made alive. He's now again part of the family. What compassion this father has. What generosity this father has. In this story, as we identify which son are we, or maybe we kind of bounce back and forth between these two sons and the way that we live before our Heavenly Father, this father points to our Heavenly Father. We're to see in this father the compassion that our Lord has. You're to see the grace that he has for you. And I want to ask you, can you relate to this younger son? Has there been a time, or maybe right now, you're like that prodigal? That, yeah, I'm in church, but my heart is very far away from the Lord. I look pretty good on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I could care less about following Jesus. But is your conscience weighing on you? Is the Spirit working in your heart saying, return to your Heavenly Father? But you may be saying, I can't do that. You don't know the things that I've done. And so I want to ask you another question. Do you believe that God will embrace you in the way that this father embraced his son? Do you believe that your Heavenly Father, even in the midst of your sin and not deserving his grace, will welcome you back in? That he longs for you to return, and that he will embrace you, that you will know and experience his presence in your life because he is welcoming you back. Now, we could end this story here, and that would be fine. In the book of Jonah, we could have ended that when he was rescued by that fish and preached to the Ninevites, and they turn to God. But in the book of Jonah, there's a chapter 4. In this story, we need to now look at this older brother. And so we now turn to scene 2. Look at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. "Your brother is here," he told him, "and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." And then look at verse 28. Then he, that is the older brother, became angry, and he did not want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. The younger son, the younger brother, comes back. A party breaks out. Everybody is celebrating. Everybody, that is, except the older brother. He's been out in the field working, and as he approaches the house, he hears the music. He sees people dancing. Maybe he smells the food and he asks, "What is happening?" And one of the servants says that your brother who left has returned. And his response, we might think, would be joy. His brother is back. But as verse 28 says, he is angry. And again, as we consider the story of Jonah, do you remember Jonah's response when the Ninevites turned to God? He preaches to them, and we would think he would be overjoyed that they respond to his message, but instead, he is angry. Actually, Jonah thinks the grace that God has poured out on that people is evil. Evil. And so this son thinks what is taking place is wrong, that it's not fair, that maybe even it is evil like Jonah thought. Look at verse 29, "But he replied to his father, 'Look, I've been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him.'" Now, some of us can relate to this older brother, right? Maybe you've heard this story many times and you sympathize with him. A guy at the previous service said, "Every time I hear this story, I don't like it because I don't like how the older brother is treated." And so we can sympathize, especially if we've been more the rule followers, done the right things. But again, notice how upset this brother is. He doesn't say, my brother. He's so mad. He says, this son of yours. He wants nothing to do with this being his brother. He says, when he squanders, Father, all of your wealth, and he comes back, he gets the fattened calf. He gets the steak dinner. I get the chicken strips, right? This is not fair. This isn't right. But the father's response shows how mistaken the older brother is. Look at verse 31. He says, son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we have to celebrate. We have to rejoice because this brother of yours who was dead is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And then the story ends. Very similar to how Jonah ends on this cliffhanger. I mean, how did Jonah respond when God said, well, should I not have compassion on this people? How did Jonah respond? We're not told. How does this older brother respond? Does he go in and celebrate at the party? We're not told. See, again, the book of Jonah ends not to put the focus so much on Jonah, but on you. And the way this story ends is to put the focus on you. Again, asking yourself, am I like the prodigal son or am I like the older brother? And I think for many of us that are followers of Jesus, kind of the longer we go, what we have to watch out for is that our heart doesn't get hard. That we're still amazed at God's grace. But also we can, as we live out our Christian faith, we can kind of almost forget God's grace, that we were undeserving of it. And so as we live out our faith before God, it becomes much more transactional. Did you notice how this older son says, all these things I've done for you, but what there appears to be is a lack of love for the Father. And as we go in our faith, what we have to be watching for is, do we begin to do all these things for God, often good things, of going to church, of serving, of being good parents, being good grandparents, that we think we're trying to almost earn God's favor, at least have it continue on us. And when things don't go our way, we get upset with God. We say to God, Lord, I've done all this for you. How are you responding to me in this way? But also, as we connect this story with Jonah, it's amazing the connections that we find. Because in the first two chapters of Jonah, Jonah runs from the Lord. He tries to flee from the presence of God. But God, in his compassion and in his mercy, he sends that fish and it rescues Jonah. He's recommissioned, and Jonah now goes and preaches to the Ninevites, and they respond. But Jonah's angry about it. He acts like that older son. See, Jonah had received grace and mercy, but when others received it, particularly those he did not like, when they received grace and mercy, he was upset about it. Is there anybody in your life who's maybe become a follower of Jesus, and your response was not joy, but that person, they became a Christian? I know that person. I know what they did when they were a teenager. I know what they did when they were in their 20s. Maybe it's a friend or a family member, and you've kind of ended on a really sore note, and now they're a believer. You're like, them? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. And this is what the older brother struggled with. This is what Jonah struggled with. Maybe this is what you struggle with today. And this is where we have to apply the gospel to our life daily, to remind ourselves over and over again of the grace that has been poured out on you. The grace has been poured out on me, that we're all sinful, that we're all undeserving. But God, in his love, when we return back to him, he embraces us and he welcomes us back in. This is what the story of Jonah is pointing to. This is what the story of Jesus found in the Gospel of Luke is pointing to. And so as we conclude this series, I really want to just give you two main takeaways, and we've touched on this a number of times. And so I hope you've been blessed in this series, but if you get nothing else out of it, I want you to hold on to these two things. And the first is this: our Heavenly Father is so compassionate. Throughout the story of Jonah, over and over again, compassion to Jonah. Jonah runs, compassion. Jonah still doesn't get it, compassion. Jonah's heart is hard, compassion, over and over. the Ninevites, this cruel and brutal people, did not deserve God's grace. God is compassionate. This prodigal son did not deserve to come back to his father. Compassion. And this older son, whose heart was hard, was shown compassion. And so for you, I don't know who you are as far as what's been done in your life, maybe what's been done to you, but you are not beyond God's compassion. Do you believe that? Are you holding on to things in your life, some sin in your life, some things you've done, and saying, God would never forgive me? That's being prideful. Give that to the Lord. Confess it to him. He wants to welcome you, and he wants to pour out his compassion to you no matter what you have done. The second takeaway is this. We should extend compassion to others. Because of the grace and compassion we've received, we are to show that to others. And so as we begin a new year, a new school year, we're going to have issues with our spouse. We're going to have issues with our kids. You're going to have issues with other parents or grandparents. Are you going to show compassion? In this political season that is so divisive, are we going to show compassion? Are we going to pray for that person that we dislike, that we disagree with? This is not easy, but this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we show compassion because we've received such compassion and grace. This is what is set before us. Now, I think Jonah, if you're wondering, I think he got it. I think the story ends in that way, but who else would have known all the details in the book of Jonah but Jonah himself? And so I think when that question of God was proposed to him, of Jonah, should I not show compassion? As Jonah dwelt on that and prayed about that, he understood God's grace better. And he wrote that for us, saying, will you be like me? How my heart was hard? Or will you turn to the Lord, show compassion to others, show grace to others because of a great love that we have from our Heavenly Father? Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you do that today? Would you cross over that line of faith of going from not a follower of Jesus to a follower, to a believer? Admit your sin, repent, turn to God. Trust in who Jesus is, that he lived and died for you, that he rose from the dead. And when you put your faith, that is your trust, your reliance in who Christ is and what he has done for you, you will be saved. And if that is you, you can do that in your chair. We would love to talk with you at this time of invitation. If you've been the prodigal, maybe you're the prodigal right now, will you turn back to God? And if there is somebody in your life that you need to show compassion to, the Spirit's been working in your heart these last number of weeks as we keep hearing over and over again about God's love and grace and mercy and compassion. Has God been stirring in your heart for that person you need to reach out to forgive, to seek reconciliation? Would you do that today? Will you call them today? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is living, it is active. Lord, it is powerful, it is challenging. But Lord, in your word, there is life. Lord, help us to be your followers, Lord, even when it is a struggle. Lord, help us to be amazed and overwhelmed by your joy, how you rejoice when we return to you, how heaven rejoices. Lord, help us to be amazed at your grace and your love, and Lord, help us to extend that to others. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are, that you are a friend, that you are a brother, that you are a Savior. Lord Jesus, we praise your name. We ask all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.